Okay, today's daf is Kuf Chet. We're starting at the very bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Bet. We finish up the perek. Two dots at the very bottom, second to last line. And we're going to today do two dapim and get through the Shabbat daf before Shabbat. Okay, so we'll be a day ahead for the next few days. Or daf ahead. Mekabel alav makom gader. So we're up to the end of the Mishnah where we said that mekabel alav makom gader, which we said was a machloket, is it the buyer, is it the seller who's responsible? Now we're going to talk about what's this makom gader we understand in order to put a fence around the property to protect from animals coming in. But what's this charitz uben charitz? Okay, and the Mishnah, if you remember, said kamu charitz, shishat tfachim. A charitz is six tfachim wide, and a ben charitz, the small charitz, is three.
Such a nice image, the baby ditch.
The baby ditch, right alongside his father. Okay. Mekabel alav makom gader. Tana. So here's a bright. Charitz mi bachutz uben charitz mi bifnim. Vzeh vzeh achorei gader. Okay, so the question is, what's the order of where you put them? So the big charitz is on the outside, and the smaller charitz is on the inner, in other words, closer to the property. And both of them are beyond the fence. Kedei, what's the purpose of these charitzim? Kedei shalotei chaya kofetzet. So that the assumption was, that it's, I'm assuming, that it's cheaper to dig a ditch than it is to build a higher fence. So instead of building the fence higher, you'd dig this ditch.
It's a moat.
Which would prevent, right, it's like a moat.
It's a moat.
Exactly, it's like a moat, except that it's not such a very big moat. It's quite small, right, quite narrow. So the idea is that you don't want the animal to jump. So now they say, wait a minute, if you don't want the animal to jump, so why do you need the baby and the father, right? Why do you need two chavitzim? Why don't you just make a nice wide charitz, the six tefachim one, and then you won't need to do the little one. So they say, because it's so wide, the animal might actually be able to stand properly within the charitz and jump over the fence, right? The point is, the animal has to have somewhere good to stand in order to be able to jump over the fence. So then they say, okay, well then, so then why don't we just do the small one where it's too narrow for him to stand? So they say, no, because I did dekatin kaima asfate bekafza. If it's so narrow, then he'll be able to stand on the side of the ditch, you know, on the lip of the ditch, and jump. So therefore, they need both the wide one and the narrow one, so that there's not enough space both for the animal to be inside the ditch or be outside the ditch. Okay, basically, there's this, right? There's a, well, we'll see in a second, bekama ben charitz leben charitz. How much space in between them? A tefach. So you basically have this ditch of three tefachim. Then you have a tefach. Then you have the ditch of six tefachim. And that basically prevents the animal from having any good place to stand. It resolves both issues in all directions. Hadron alach beit kor. Okay, now we're moving into nachalot. Okay, so as I said, we're going to do the first two dapim of this parak today. Let me go ahead. First, you have to read the psukim about Yerusha. Okay. The main thing to remember about Yerusha is that Yerusha always goes from the father's side, not the mother's side. Okay, the Torah, when Benot Zlachad come to Moshe and say, we want to get the Nachala of our fathers because we have no brothers, so Moshe goes to Hashem, you know, they have this whole thing. And then in Bamidbar Kavzayim, Pasuk Vav, it says, Vayomar Hashem Moshe. So basically, this is Hashem's answer to Moshe about Benot Zlachad. Came Benot Zlachad Dovrot, Naton titen lahem achuza nachala betoch ache avihem, v'havarta nachalat avihen lahen. Okay, Benot Zlachad spoke truthfully, and they're going to get their nachala. Now, then once God says this, he goes into talk about the rules of nachala in general, what the order is. Ve'el b'nei Yisrael tedaber lemor. Ish ki amut uben en lo. Okay, so that means what? Who's number one? The son. Okay, this is all on the sheet that I gave you today. The son is going to be first. If he doesn't have a son, v'ha'avartem et nachalato lebito. Okay, she's second, clearly, right? Third, v'im ein lo bat, unitatem et nachalato le'echav. Okay, the brothers of the deceased are third. V'im ein lo achim, v'natatem et nachalato le'achi aviv. Okay, now we get to the uncle. The uncle of his father's brother. Okay? V'im ein lo achim le'aviv, okay, which is a very ambiguous statement, right? We give it to the closest relative he has, mi mishpachto, which we're going to darshan later to mean on his father's side, because mishpachat lemishpachat, you know, all the lists in the Torah are always lemishpachotam, always goes by the father. Okay, who's missing in this?
The wife.
Well, the wife. The wife doesn't inherit. That's for sure. The wife is missing. Okay, women don't inherit. Who else is missing? Major character. Son, daughter, brother.
Sister.
Uncle. Okay, and then it's really missing. What? Father. Where's the father? Okay. If you're not going to give your nachalat, right, assuming you don't have anyone to go beneath you, and we'll see exactly what, right, the point is, the father's missing. The question is, where's the father going to be? But certainly, if you go to the uncle, he should 100% be before the uncle, because what's the uncle's connection? Through the father. So of course the father's going to go at least before the uncle.
So the question is, have to inherit it because he had already passed it down from him to the son. So that it wouldn't be considered an inheritance.
No, it could be.
To get it back.
No, it could be the son's own property that the son acquired during his lifetime. And if you say, well, we don't assume that the father dies before the child, but the uncle also shouldn't die before the child, so that also doesn't make sense. Okay, so basically there's a huge problem here, and that's what's going to lead us in the Gemara to a whole thing about where does the father come in. Okay, first of all, it's going to be where's the order, and then how do we learn it? Okay? Okay, before we get there, there's a Mishnah that we've actually seen before in Nedarim and Nazir, because there was a structure that was very similar, so they brought this in, I remember. Yesh nochalin u'manchilim, v'yesh nochalim v'lo manchilim, manchilim v'lo nochalim, lo nochalim v'lo manchilim. Okay, this is a classic structure of a Mishnah, right? There's four categories. You can either, okay, what does this mean, nochalim? You can inherit, and manchilim is you can pass on inheritance to. So there's people who both inherit one to the other, right? One inherits from the other, and one can also bequeath to the other. V'yesh nochalim v'lo manchilim. There are those who inherit, but they don't pass on their possessions to the other person. Manchilim v'lo nochalim. Okay, I'm not going to go through all, right? It's the opposite, right? They bequeath but not inherit. And lo nochalim v'lo manchilim. There are those who have neither. Okay, this is very much, by the way, like Yevamot. Okay, if you remember Yevamot, we're going to start getting into all the relationships and all the... And don't worry, we'll get back to this in Sanhedrin also when we get to Krovin. Okay, who can't... testify, which, by the way, is all connected to who can be Yoresh. Okay, remember that when we get to Sanhedrin, it's all based on Dinei Yerusha, because if you can inherit the person, then you can't testify for them, because the assumption is that their financial considerations are your financial considerations, right? That you want them to have money so that you can inherit them, right? Inherit from them. Okay, so now we get to the whole. We're going to get into the details. Elu nochalin umanchilim ha'avet habanim. Okay, so a father to his sons. Now, there's a father passes on his Yerusha to his sons. That's classic, right? And he also, right, the son can inherit from, he also can inherit from the son. And habanim ta'av, okay, I'm not sure why this is repeated, because it's really the same thing, right? I didn't exactly figure that out. Av nochel v'gam anchil. Right. Yeah, because then the son to the father, right? If the father dies, then the son... I'm sorry, if the son dies, then the father can inherit from the son. Now, how does that work? He doesn't... What we mean here, by the way, is not direct. It might not necessarily be the first person to inherit from, but he can potentially inherit from him. So let's say the son dies and doesn't have any children. If he has children of his own, they go first to his children. And that's going to be a whole debate, right? Depending on where the father ends up on the list. But the father, at some point, could potentially end up on the list. Ha'achim min ha'av, okay, brothers who share the same father. That's the achim here, right? Achav. The brother can inherit, but only from the father, not from the mother. So they can inherit from each other, and they can obviously, if one inherits from the other, then the other can inherit from the other. Okay, that's the first category where it goes in both directions. Nochalin u'manchilin. So those people, nochalin u'manchilin. Now we get to the people who are nochalin. They can inherit, but they can't bequeath. Ha'ish et imo. Okay, the father can inherit from the mother. Okay, the mother has possessions. We're going to learn where we get that from. The mother passes on her possessions to her son, can potentially. And, right, the mother, by the way, generally goes to her husband. If she doesn't have a husband, then it goes to the son. So, ha'ishet imo, but the mother doesn't bequeath, the mother doesn't inherit from the son, because it all goes to the father. The mother will never inherit from her son. V'ha'ishet ishto. Okay, a husband again, inherits from his wife, but like Ruth said in the beginning, where's the wife, right? The wife doesn't inherit from the husband, okay? Because the husband will go to his son, if not his son, his daughter. If not his daughter, then we'll see the father and then the brothers. Okay, I already kind of gave it away. The father's going to end up in between. It's hard to not give it away. The father's going to end up in between, right, after the daughter. Okay, that's going to be the whole drasha of today. Ubnei achayot, okay, the sons of sisters. Now, it's really explained that it's not really the son of sisters, because that doesn't make so much sense. It's the son of, the sons of, okay, cousins from a father and a sister. Okay, so there's a father and there's a sister. Okay, so there's, here, let's draw pictures. There's a father, you know, there's a man and his sister. Okay, now, their sons, okay, they each have a son. Their sons, okay, can nochalin, they can inherit from each other, okay, because if the man, right, if the man is to die, or the sister dies, then her inheritance...
The sister can stay alive. If the father dies,
right, if the father,
the son dies, and there's nobody else, then she, and she's still alive, she won't get, but her sons will get.
Right, so if... Right, so
father
if,
and the son have
right,
to
if let's say the man dies, the man in this picture, right? He dies, it goes to his son. If he doesn't have a son, then it'll go to his sibling's son.
He is Ben Achayot. Why did you make the distinction?
No, because it's not if it's a sister. Ben Achayot would be a sister with a sister. This is, they explain that it's only a man and a brother and a sister, because the sister, it'll go through, it'll go to her husband. Okay,
sons
but in this
sister.
Case,
it's not a son of a sister.
So the pshat is sons of a sister, but they don't explain it that way. They say it's not the sons of a sister; it's the malachim and av. They say b'nei achayot. Right, if he has no, this man has no siblings, no brothers, right? Just the sister, then it'll go to her. It'll go to, in other words, if he, let's say he has brothers from a different father, right? Or he has no other brothers. Then it'll go to his sister, and from his sister it'll go to her son. Okay, that's the assumption, the working assumption here. And but then if the son dies, right? Right, that was if the father died.
But they both have to be dead, because if the father
right.
dies, and
yes,
the son gets
the father dies, right? Right, exactly, and he doesn't have a son. But if we're talking about two sons and one of them dies, it'll never go through the mother back to the father.
So is this case talking about the man dying or the son of the man dying?
It's talking about, no, the first direction is the man dying. If the man dies, then and he doesn't have, and his son died, let's say, he doesn't, right?
Right.
Then the Yerusha will go to his sister and from there to her son if she's not alive. Okay, so that's why if the son, the assumption is this son died first. His Yerusha went to his father, okay? Then the father dies. So then that son's stuff will go on to the other son, okay? But if the sons die, right, then, I'm sorry, if, right,
well,
if...
Then it can also fall into the category
one second,
of
the Karov
or whatever it is.
Right. But the mother can never inherit from her son, right? Because we said that. So a mother doesn't inherit from her son. Therefore, if the son on the sister's side dies, then it won't go in the other direction, basically. Okay, he can't give to the other one. Nochalin v'lo manchilim. Okay, now we have people who inherit from other people, but don't pass, they don't, oh no, sorry, that was that. That was the end of that one. Ha'isha, now we get to the ones who are manchilim v'lo nochalim. Okay, they pass on to others, but they don't inherit. We're going to talk in the Gemara, this seems a little unnecessary because we just said this. Ha'isha et bina, okay, which was the opposite of ha'isha et imo. Okay, so a woman to her son, right? She doesn't inherit from him, but she passes on her inheritance to her son. Ha'isha et ba'ala, a woman to her husband. Again, she passes on to him, but he doesn't pass on to her. Ve'ache ha'em. Okay, these are uncles from the mother's side, okay? Because again, it goes through the mother. So the uncle, one second. Okay, so this is a person, okay, let's put a picture up. There's a...
You need your dolls.
Yeah, I know. I need my dolls. Okay, there's a guy. He has a mother, okay? And his mother has brothers, okay?
From the same father.
So, from the same father, exactly. Only from the same father. Because from the same mother, there's nothing to discuss. So the mother has a brother from the same father. They share a father. Okay, their father right? Their father gave birth to a brother and a boy and a girl or whatever, and now she's a mother of this child. So if this child dies, what will happen? It won't go to his mother, right? Because a ben, right? So therefore, so he's never going to bequeath to the uncle. But if the uncle dies, then what will happen? The uncle, if he has no brothers, what will happen? It'll go to his father. And from this is the same as the last case, by the way. That if you have siblings, right? I forgot to explain this. If you have siblings, why does it go to the sister? It doesn't go directly to the sister. It goes to the father. Here we're talking about a father. Right. If you have a brother and sister, what happens? If the brother dies and has no children, it'll go to his father. If his father's no longer alive, what will happen? It'll go to the daughter because, right, there's no more sons. So it'll go to the daughter through the father. It kind of goes up a generation, right? It'll have to go up to go down. You follow? A brother, it's not listed here that a brother gives to his sister. A sister's not one of the people on the list. But by nature of the fact, if he's got nobody to give to, no sons, no brothers, then it'll go back to his father. From there, it'll go to the daughter, okay, which is his sister, basically. So the same thing here. If the brother dies, then it'll go to the mother, right? It'll go to the father. If the brother dies, it'll go to his father, which will then go back down to his sister, and from his sister it'll go down to his nephew. So that's why from the uncles, the maternal uncles, it will go to the nephews. But from the nephew, it will never go back up to the uncle, because the nephew will never, right? The ben never gives anything to his mother. That never works, okay? So therefore, it will go in that direction. Okay, last case. V'achim min ha'em lo nochalim v'lo manchilim. Okay, brothers through the mother never do Yerusha. Okay, now we're going to get to our question. First, before we get to our question, we're going to get to a different question, which is the order of the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts out, ha'av et ha'banim v'ha'banim et ha'av. So they ask the question, ma'ishna dekatane ha'av min ha'banim b'reisha? Litne ha'banim et ha'av b'reisha. Okay, we should have said, I actually said it wrong. Of all things, I've said it wrong. Ha'av et ha'banim, they understand as the father, right? The first case in the Mishnah is ha'av et ha'banim. They're saying ha'av nochel, because the first subject is nochalin u'manchilin. So it's a father who loses his son. So the father will inherit from the son. So the Gemara asked the question, why did you start with a case of a father inheriting from the son? Right? Chada da'at chule b'poranita l'matchilina. Why would you want to start out the Mishnah with a terrible situation of a father inheriting from a son? Like, what a horrible tragedy that a son would die before the father. Ve'od kidichtiv ish kiamut ubein enlo. Also, the classic case in the Torah is a person dies and he doesn't have a son, which means, right, that it doesn't say it, but it's obvious that the basic case is a father passes down to a son. So why wouldn't you have started off with the case of habanim et ha'av, which means the banim inherit from the father, and not ha'av et habanim, where the father inherits from the son? Which also, the Gemara doesn't say this, but they're going to answer this, which is, of all cases, that was the case that we didn't know, that didn't appear in the psukim. So that's what they're going to answer. What do they say? Bitana aidi da atile midrasha chavivale. Because it was learned out of a drasha, and it wasn't the pshat in the Torah, that's the most endeared to him. And that's why the Tana wanted to put that one first. We've seen this before. That if something's learned out by drasha, it's more chaviv, it's more endearing, they'd rather put that one first. So now they say, umay drasha. So what's the drasha? How do we learn out that the father inherits from the son? Titanya she'ero zeha'av. Remember, we had our list. Okay, let's erase our pictures. We have ben, bat, right? Then we have benobito, achiv, achi aviv, the uncle, and then she'ero. Well, it's strange, right? If you're going to say the last one is the father. So they say, she'ero ze ha'av, milamed sha'av koden la'achim. Okay, that's what I told you. Teaches us that the father comes before the brothers. Obviously, there's a major problem here, which is she'ero is number 5 on the list. It's not number... Right, it's not number 3 on the list, which it's basically saying that it belongs in number 3. So we're going to deal with this. Not to worry. Yachol yehei kodem leben. You might have thought it goes before the son. Talmud lamar hakarov, karov kodem. Okay, where does it say hakarov? Look at that last the last pasuk. Vim ein lo achim la'aviv unitatem nachlato l'she'ero hakarov elav, which teaches you in general, not about just the she'ero, but it teaches you in general that the person who is closest to him gets first. And the assumption is that a son is closer to the person than his father is. Okay? So,
Son was close to his father. You could flip it. You know, this is also a father.
It's true, but when the... Right, think about your nuclear family. You think about you and your children. You don't think about your parents, right? That's the nuclear family. So that's what they're saying here, that the person who's closest to the father himself is the son. He's more close than the father's father. Okay? So... So therefore, the son goes first, and it's not before the son. So now they say, Umara ita. They're basically, you throw everything up in the air. Okay? Once the order, and it's the assumption here, is that the order just gets flipped around. And, right? It's so funny, because it's the most orderly thing we've seen in the Torah, right? Like, it's one of the places where the Torah is so clear. If it's not this, it's this. If it's not this, it's this. And it seems so clear there's the order. But they say, once you're messing up the order and you're saying, She'ero is Aviv, and that comes earlier, well, why don't we just mess up the order even more, okay? Obviously, they don't really mean to say that this is what we should do. But they want to talk, I think they're struggling with how can we prove that this is really the case, so that people don't say, maybe the father should come after the brothers, maybe the father should come before the daughter, maybe, I'd throw everything up in the air. So what do they say? Okay, so why are we saying that the son is first, then the father, then the brother, right? Forget about the daughter here, we're not talking about her, obviously she's in there, but that's not what their issue is. They're saying, why don't you put the brothers first? Maybe a person should pass on his inheritance to his brothers. Right? Maybe there's an assumption that also a person is closer to his brothers than he is to his father. It's also a potential explanation. So what do they say? They say there's two cases where a son can take the place of his father, where a son and a father are interchangeable and not a brother. What are these two cases? So I brought you the psukim. One is from Shmot Perakaf Aleph, Pasuk Zayin Tetet, which is about in a... he sells off his daughter to be a maidservant. Lo teitzei ketzei avadim. She doesn't have the same laws as the avadim. Im ra'a ve'enei adoneha asher lo ya'ada ve'hefta. Lam nechui lo yimshal l'machra b'bigdoba. The assumption was that when you sell an amayivriya, she's going to marry the adon. That's the idea. Okay? Ve'im livno yi'adena, and not only can he marry, but you can also, he can marry him off to his son. Kemishpat banot yasela. Now what's the relevance? She can marry, right? She can marry off to other people either, also, but what's the idea here? If you sell her, so they already paid money to purchase the ama, at that point, he doesn't need to pay kesef kiddushin if he wants to betroth her. So he basically, in his payment of buying the ama, and then decides 3 years later, I'm going to marry her, then he can marry her without having to pay kesef kiddushin. Likewise, if his son marries the woman, also he doesn't have to pay kesef kiddushin. But if he gives her to his brother, then the brother has to pay kesef kiddushin. So there you see that the son is closer to the father than the brothers are closer to the father, right? That there's a stronger connection there. The second one is Steach Huzah, which we've come across a bunch in the last little while. We'll read the Psukim Vayikra Kaf Zayim, Psukim Tet Zayim to Kaf Aleph. Ve'im is Steach Huzato Yakdish Ish LaHashem. Remember, if you're Makdish, you're Steach Huzah, this ancestral plot. Vayarka Chalapi Zaro Zerach Homer Sorim B'Chamishim Shekel Kesef. Right? That's how much it's worth. Then there's this whole thing, if you, right? There's two options. You can redeem the field, okay? You're not really giving the field, you're just redeeming it. Then you redeem it for 50 Shekel Kesef. But look at pasuk kaf. Im lo yigal et hasadeh. Okay, if you don't redeem it, v'im machar et hasadeh leish acher lo yigael od. V'haya hasadeh b'tzeito b'yovel kodesh l'Hashem kisteh acherim l'kohen tiyah chuzato. If you don't redeem the field, which means what? Your field belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. So the gizbar of the Beit HaMikdash comes along, and what does he do? He doesn't want a field. He sells the field to get the money for the Beit HaMikdash. If you do that, you can't get it back. And when the Yovel comes, it'll go to the Kohen. The land will be split among the Kohanim in the Yovel year. Instead of going back to its original owner, which generally these kind of fields would, it goes to the Kohanim. But what does it say here? Im achar et hasadeh le'ish acher, Which means what? If the Gizbar sold it to the person who owned it, then that wouldn't be the case. And what did they learn? Not only the father, also his son. Okay? But it would only apply to the father and the son. Now, this one doesn't say it explicitly in the pasuk. Remember that. We're going to come back to that. Okay? This one was learned out from somewhere. Okay. So what do they say? Therefore, the son is kosher, because you're seeing these two issues. The son replaces the father, basically. They're interchangeable. So they say, what do you mean? Adrabah, marbani ta'ach, shekein kam tachad achiv liyibum. Right? Yibum is the classic example. The brother comes exactly in place of his brother. Now, what's interesting about Yibum being mentioned in this connection, if you remember, when we learned about Yibum, one of the explanations we gave for Yibum was that it seems very clearly connected to Yerusha, that he's inheriting his brother, so to speak. So it's interesting that they're bringing up this connection. So they're saying, here you see, the Achiv comes in place of Yibum, so therefore also, maybe he would be more important than the father. So what do they answer? Klum yesh Yibum ele b'makom she'ein bein. But there's only Yibum in a place where you don't have a son. So therefore, what does it appear? The son is more critical, right? The son takes the place of the father in a normal case. Only when the son isn't there does the brother take over. So therefore, clearly the son comes first. And then from there, they get to also the father must come first. So now they say, wait a minute. Tam adikai pircha halav hachi havamina ach adif? But why would you give that if you didn't have that argument of, well, when there's no son, there's no Yibum, so obviously the son comes first. We have a better explanation. Right? What did we say? The son is like the father in two cases, and the brother's like the father only in one case, so why don't you just say it's a numbers game? The son is obviously more close to the father, more replacing the father than the brother, because it's two cases and not one. So then they answer very interestingly. So what do they say here? The whole reason, remember what I told you, Ste'achuzah doesn't say so explicitly in the Pasuk. Only libino in the Amai Vriah case does it say. But because of that, what does it mean? The whole way they learned out Ste'achuzah, that the son takes the place of the father, is from the Yibum argument. That since Klum Yeshi, right, since there's only Yibum when there's no son, therefore the son takes the place of the father also in a Se'achuzah. And that's how they darshaned it in the first place. So if that's the case, it's really only one again, right? It's one that comes from the same logic as the other, and therefore it doesn't count as two against one. Okay? So you can't use that argument, and therefore you have to use the argument of Klum Yeshi Bum Elam Kom She'em Ben. Okay. So now, this was all explaining, right? We started with explaining why we started out in the Mishnah with the case of the father inheriting from the son. Then we moved to, where do we learn out the father? Where does the father come? And how do we learn it? We learn this from She'ero being the father. So now they say, Ema, why don't you say that we darshan this drasha differently? They're suggesting alternate drashot that wouldn't necessarily tell us what we thought, that it's 1, 2, 3, 4, right? That the father comes in between the daughter and the brother. Ema she'ero zeha'av milamed sha'av kodem labat. Maybe the father should be in between the son and the daughter. Maybe it's not that the, right? And it's once you're moving she'ero to place number 3, right, in between 2 and 3, why don't you move it in between 1 and 2? In other words, it's Shri Rati, right? It's random, sounds like. So why don't you say Sheiroza Aban Lamed Sha'av Kodem Labat? Yachol Yakdim Laben. And it's, what do we say? Sheiro comes to teach us that the Av comes before the daughter. This is our potential suggestion. Then you would say Yachol Yakdim Laben. You might have thought that it could even go before the son. The way the drasha is going to work is very simple, right? The same way the drasha was before. The first drasha was She'ero zeha'av melamed she'av kodem la'achim. Then they say Yachol yehei kodem la'ben. You might have thought it comes earlier, and then they say no, because hakarov karov elav. So now they say you might have thought it was in between the son and the daughter, right before the daughter, and then right. The She'ero comes to teach that. I'm sorry, it comes to teach that the av is between the son and the daughter, and then you might have thought it would be yakdim la'ben. Tamud lamar karov karov elav, karov karov kodem. Which means that the son is first. So what do they answer? Why would you not say this drasha? Okay, very simple. Kevan de linyan yibum ben ubat ki adad ininu. Therefore, linyan nechala nami ben ubat ki adad ininu. When it comes to yibum, it doesn't matter if you only have a son. It also matters if you have a daughter. If you have a daughter or a son, any kind of child, that already means your brother's not going to do yibum. And because of that, sons and daughters are considered equal. This is another proof, by the way, that Yibum is equated with Nahalah, that all comes from Nahalah. And therefore, if we're saying, if you don't have sons, then your brother, right, sons or daughters, then your brother needs to marry your wife to keep to kind of take over your Yerusha. And because remember, the whole connection of Yibum, I should remind you, whoever does Yibum for the brother takes his Nahalah. He basically takes over all of his properties. So, therefore, we're going to say, we don't say ben, father, bat. We say ben, bat, and then father. Okay, that's why we don't suggest this alternate drasha.
Wasn't Yibum so that the father who died could have a name?
But that's what we talked about. A name is not only a name, but also connects his nahala. That's what we saw when we learned Yevamot, that it was all connected. Again, there were sources that went one way, sources that more supported this inyan of Nahalah, first of all, that it all goes through the father and not through the mother, all sorts of things that support the Nahalah theory. And these sources would definitely support that it's all about the Nahalah. Okay, Ve'ema, why don't we suggest another option? She'rozah ha'av melamed, sha'av kodem l'achiyav, right? What about putting it between numbers 4 and 5, between the brother and the uncle, right? Maybe the brothers go first, and then the father, and then the uncle. Okay, so this is how it works. So the drasha would read like this. Teaches us the father comes before the uncle. Yachol yakdim la'achim, tamud lamar, hakarov karov kodim. Okay, so you might have thought that it comes before the brothers, and that's why it says the shero karov elav. Karov teaches us whoever's closer comes first. So couldn't you have said that drasha? So they say, no, because this would assume that what? It was coming to teach us this drasha that what? That the father comes before the uncle. Now, obviously the father comes before the uncle. You wouldn't need a drasha to tell you that. Achia av lo tzrichei kra. Right? To tell you that the father comes before the uncle, obviously, achia av mikoch man ka'atu, mikoch av kai. Kai av, kai yartech achia av. Bahai kra. Okay, so therefore they say, right, what's the whole koch of the uncle to inherit? It's because, like I said before, right, it goes first to there and then to there, right? So first the inheritance goes to the brother and the father, and through the father it will get to the uncle. So therefore, it can't possibly be that we need a drasha to tell you that. Bahai kra lav lahachik tivi, dichtiv bim ein achim la'aviv. Okay, so now they say, wait a minute. But now we ask our basic question that we've been waiting for, which is, right, is it not these psukim, cry as the psukim, lav hachi ktive, isn't it written like this, dichtivim ein achim la'aviv v'chule? In other words, it's all ordered perfect, and she'ero karov elav is at the very end. So they just say very simply, cry shelo kisidran ktive. The psukim are not according to the order that they've been written. Okay, which, by the way, comes up in Parshanuyo. You know, there's a concept. It's almost like Ein Mukdam Mu'achar B'Torah, you know, that there's Kram Suras that you're supposed to read it flipped. There's all sorts of cases where they use this option. Obviously, it's just also clear cut to them that the father appears somewhere in the middle there and he's not mentioned, so they have to figure it out. Okay, now that was all to explain how we get to the father, that he's between the daughter and the brother. We had the drasha, she'ro, zeha'av, right? And then we said, you might have thought, blah, blah, blah. We suggested alternate ways of reading it. We rejected all of them, right? Where the father wouldn't be number three, in between 2 and 3. He'd be maybe between 1 and 2, or maybe between 3 and 4. We rejected those. Now we're going to have a totally different drasha for the same thing, okay? Instead of she'ro, zeha'aviv, we're going to darshan it from a different place. A different Tana brought it from a different place. Ditanya et zo darash Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi. Adam ki amut uben ein lo. Okay, you have to read the rest of that pasuk. V'ha'avartem et nachalato lebito. Okay, a man dies, he doesn't have sons. You pass the nachalah to his daughter. Bimkom bat atama avir nachalah min ha'em. V'iyatama avir nachalah min ha'av. Bimkom achim. Okay, so how did they darshan this? When there's a bat, what did they say? Notice the word there. It's the only time it appears here, it appears also in the pasuk before, but again about giving it to the daughters. So only with relation to the daughters does it say v'havartem. What's the assumption of v'havartem? That what is l'havir, to pass, like to pass over? That we're passing over someone else who should have gone first, which was the father, and we're giving it to the daughter instead. Mm-hmm. And that means that the father comes after the daughter. Okay? So bimkom bat, when there's a daughter there, atam ma'avir nachala min ha'av. You skip over the father and give it to the daughter. But you don't skip over the father when it comes to the brothers, because the word Vavarta doesn't appear. Ve'ema, now again they suggest, why don't you say it like this? Maybe it's coming to say that when there's a daughter, it doesn't go to the brothers. Now it's just trying to say someone who should have come first goes second, right? So maybe that's what it means, which is exactly our order, right? But we don't pass over the father, because the father actually maybe comes before the daughter. So afilu bimkom bito. So they say very simply, im ken lo nichtav rachmana v'ha'avartem. You wouldn't need this v'ha'avartem, because anyway, it says so in the psukim. It's very clear. V'ha'avartem has to show that she's one-upping someone who's supposed to come before her. And clearly the brothers are in the pasuk and come after her. So it would have to be someone who was supposed to be before you and not someone who's supposed to be after you. Because v'ha'avartem is like a stronger word than just, usually it says v'natatem. Okay, you give it as opposed to you pass it. So they're basically saying the fact that it's obvious it has to be someone who was supposed to be before her and now isn't. So therefore, the father maybe in theory should have been after the son, but he gets moved down to in between the daughter and the son, and that's from Vavartim. So now we're going to have a back and forth about the one who learns it from Vavartim, what does he do with She'ero, and the one who learns it from She'ero, what does he do with Vavartim? Ulaman dinafkalemi Vavartim, hai She'ero my avidle, what does he do with it? Remember we said that we don't know where it says that the husband inherits his wife. It doesn't say so in the Torah. They learn it after from this drasha. Okay, she'ero, like she'er k'sutin ona, the three things you're supposed to give your wife. So she'ero is the person who's the most close to you. That's your wife. So from here, they darshan, it's about the wife, that the husband inherits the wife. So the one who learns out about the father from She'ero, what does he do with Vavartem? Okay, here's a spraita. So Rebbe says explicitly, everything else is nitina. Here it says havara. She'ein lecha shemavir nachala mishevet leshevet ela bat. It only says it by a bat because she's the only one who can pass land out of a shevet. How so? Ho'ilu b'na u'bala yorshimota. Right? If she marries out of her shevet, she inherits her father's stuff from whatever shevet he's in. She passed it on to somebody else, right? Who's she going to pass on to her son and her husband who aren't necessarily from the same shevet? So she's the only one who can actually do a ha'avara mishevet l'shevet. Okay, now we're going to ask a separate question on the drashav she'ero. Mimai de she'ero zahav dichtiv. She'er avichahu, right? Where do you get it that she'ero is aviv? Because it says she'er avichahu. Okay, this is by the Erva psukim. Okay, in last week's parsha, right? Ervat achot avicha lo tegalesh she'er avichahi. Okay, but if you're going to say that ema she'ero zo ha'em, you could say also it's the mother, and maybe the mother inherits, right? In other words, who's to say that she'ero is the father and not the mother? Dichtiv she'er amichahi, because it also says she'er imchai, right? It's also your mother's. Your mother's also considered your she'er. So Amarava, Amarkra, like I told you before, mi mishpachto v'yarashota, right? It says there, l'sheiro karov elav mi mishpachto. That's the one who's v'yarashota. Mishpachat av, kriya mishpacha, mishpachat em, ena kriya mishpacha. Dechtiv l'mishpachotam lebeit avotam. Okay, so because of the pasuk l'mishpachotam lebeit avotam, we learn that only through the father is it considered mishpacha. And mishpacha is where it says in the pasuk, the person who's closest in the mishpacha, mishpacha is just the father. Mishpachat em, ena kriya mishpacha. Okay, now they're going to have a whole question on who's to say that mishpachat em isn't called mishpacha. We're going to bring a proof from Sefer Shoftim. If you remember, there's a story toward the end of Sefer Shoftim about Pesel Micha. And Micha takes this ish, who is a, we'll see, okay, we'll talk, he brings this person to kind of be his Levi slash Kohen, okay? But say Levi slash Kohen, really to work as his Kohen, but he was from Shevet Levi. Okay, that was his idea, although we're going to see maybe he really wasn't from Shevet Levi. V'haktiv, okay, we're now going to show the mishpachat em could be called mishpacha. V'hi nar mi beit lechem Yehuda, mi mishpachat Yehuda, v'hu Levi. Now, how can you be a Levi if you're from mishpachat Yehuda? So it must be he was mishevet Levi from his father, and from his mother, he was shevet Yehuda. By the way, this matches, we saw before, right? Did we see this recently about the, it's Mordechai, he comes up in the, they're miyuchas also to their mothers in connecting to shevet Yehuda. The mother was from Yehuda. There's a whole thing about, I can't remember if I saw it in the daf or somewhere else. But anyway, there's sometimes where people call Mishpachat Yehuda, really the mother was Yehuda. Didn't we see recently with, forget. Okay. On the Psukim, it was the pages about Boaz, and that they went after the mother. It was from Ruth, and that they called it, I forget exactly how it worked there, but okay. So anyway, what does it say? So v'hu garsham, so ha'guf akashya, amart v'hu levi, amim milevi, ati, mimishpachet, alma milevi ate, mimishpachet yuda, alma miyuda ate, right? Ela lav da'avu amilevi v'imei miyuda. Okay, that must be what it is, which means mishpachet is yuda. The kamar mimishpachet yuda, right? So there it shows, mishpachet could be the mother. So now they're going to say, no. I'm a rabbi bar Rav Hanan. Lo gavra d'shmei Levi. Lo gavra d'shmei Levi. It's not what you think. It's his name was Levi. Ihachi. So then if his name was Levi, then hainu d'kamar Micha, then what did Micha say when he said, atayadati ki yeshiv Hashem li, God will make it good for me. Why? Ki ayali ha-Levi le-Kohen, because I made the Levi into the Kohen. Right? What do you mean? Right? But if he wasn't really a Levi, so his name was Levi. So they say, indeed, drama like garbage, Ishmael Levi. No, really, he just thought, right? Micha, anyway, wasn't the greatest guy, right? He took this pesel, set it up, he tried to make his own sort of religion, right? And he said, well, I found the guy's name happens to be Levi. Perfect, you know, God will like it because his name is Levi. So then they say, what do you mean his name was Levi? Chi Levi Shmo? But lo Yonatan Shmo. But it says in the pasuk his name was Yonatan. Dichtiv Yonatan ben Gershom ben Menashehu. Hu banav hayu kohanim l'shevet hadani. Okay? So it says, right, I'll read you the whole pasuk. V'yakimu lahem b'nei dan et ha-pesel. Okay, this is in that story. V'yonatam ben gershom ben minashe hu banav hayu kohanim l'shevet hadani ad yom gilut ha'aretz. It's basically saying, this guy who Micha set up, his children became the kohanim there forever, right, until the galut. So they say his name was obviously Yonatan, his name wasn't Levi. Okay, Amar le, v'litamech ki ben Menashehu, v'lo ben Moshehu, d'chtiv b'nei Moshe, Gershom v'Eliezer. They assume that this Gershom must be Moshe's son, and it's actually not Menashe either. He's saying there's a whole play with the names. Don't take the names seriously, because his name wasn't even his grandfather, it was a bunch of generations disconnected, but, right, it came from Moshe, okay? And not Menashe. So why they call him Menashe? And l'mitoch sha'asa ma'aseh Menashe, t'la'oa katu b'Menashe. Because he ended up being like Avodah Zarah, like Menashe in the future is going to do, right? The king Menashe was a bad guy. Therefore, they called him Menashe. Hachanami mitoch sha'asa ma'aseh Menashe, da'ate miyuda, t'la'o katu biyuda. Now they're going to say, if you're going to say that, right, then the reason they connected him with Menashe was because Menashe was from Yehuda, and therefore they connected him with Yehuda, okay? But really, he wasn't from Yehuda. In which case, Mishpachat Yehuda is not the mother, okay? So we'll just finish up quickly here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Mikan Shetolim Et HaKalkala B'Mekukal. Okay, from here we learn that if someone messes up, because right, we connect him to someone else who messed up. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Amar Mehacha. We can learn it from another place. When it talks about Adoniyahu, remember he was the son of David who tries to take over when David's dying and he tries to do a merit and take over so that Shlomo doesn't become king. It says V'Gam Hu Tov Tor Ma'od V'Oto Yalda Acharei Avshalom. And he was born right after Avshalom, right? The mother gave birth to him after she gave birth to Avshalom. I said, what do you mean? Adoniyah ben Chagit, Avshalom ben Me'acha, they had different mothers. He wasn't from the same mother. Ela mitoch sha'asa ma'aseh Avshalom, demarah b'malchut, shela'o ha'katuv b'Avshalom. Okay, they connected him b'Avshalom, okay, for that reason. So, okay, so therefore, you could either read this text or not, but hachanami mitoch sha'asa ma'aseh Menashe, okay, and that's why he was connected to Menashe, even though he really was from Shevet Levi. Okay, and then that resolves our issue. Okay, even though this is somewhat connected, we're already over. We'll stop here for today. And like I said, we'll keep ahead and we'll get through the Shabbat daf this week together. Okay, we'll be ahead a day.